This again to a reminder of how important family love is at Christmas. Our Advent theme this morning, our fourth Advent, is on love. I was with a couple of pastors this week, and one of them said, "Are you preaching on love this week?" And I said, "Yeah, fourth Advent." And he goes, "It's hard, isn't it, to think of something new to say that people haven't all heard before?" And I thought, that's kind of true. And I've been trying this week to get my head around the love of God that we associate with the birth of Christ. The specific love of God that we celebrate at the birth of Christ, and to differentiate it from the love of our families that is such a high value and such a common and important expression of love at Christmas time. So on the one hand, we've come to prioritize Christmas as a family time, and that's great. And that we want to be together with the ones that we love. We all want to be home for Christmas. We want our children to come home, even if they have to travel. And if they won't travel, then maybe we'll travel, like Melissa and I, to be with them this year at Christmas. Because it's so important to us. It's the kind of love that you just cherish. People that you cherish, time together, and I hope that you'll be able to experience that with your family this week and this next weekend. But the question I keep asking myself is that the kind of love that God experienced at Christmas? Was this a family day for God? And it struck me that there's another kind of really important love. And it rarely falls into the category of what we would consider a cherished moment or something that we would look forward to. It's actually a love that we tend to resist. And yet it's part of the character and nature of God, and it's called loving your enemy. Laying aside whatever offense has caused division and choosing to be family rather than being enemies. John 3:16. Karen read this for us, that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. This love of God, I would suggest to you, is not the love of a family gathering at Christmas dinner. This is the love of God for enemies. And while we are gathering our families, our sons, our daughters, our children and grandchildren around a dinner table to remember the love of God at Christmas, the love of God that we're remembering is the love of a God for his enemies. That God was separated from his family, his son, because he loved the world. Have you ever noticed that the very next verse after John 3:16, it explains to us that Jesus' coming was not to condemn the world? Verse 17 says this, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." And I think, why would you even say this? And I think it's because if you think about it, this is the most logical reason for God to send his Son into the world. To condemn the world. Because we were enemies of God. That actually makes sense. We were far from God, but this actually is the twist of the gospel story. That rather than sending his Son to condemn, God actually chose to love those that he could condemn. He chose to love his enemies, and as John says, he sent his Son that we might be saved. And the family love that we experience at the dinner table, it's important. It's really important. But I don't want us to miss the love that was required in us in order for us to get to that family love. It's the love that started the gospel movement. It's a gospel love that overcomes the offenses of our enemies. And we are called to gospel love our enemies as well. And I think this is really hard. And if you've ever experienced the tension of trying to love your enemies, you'll know how difficult this is. To extend grace and kindness to people who we actually feel like we have the right to condemn. I have the right to condemn this person. They have offended me. It's hard to extend grace to someone like that. And it seems that the expression of rage, which is a very common expression in our culture these days, it seems like that's becoming a right. We have a moral right to express rage. And yet the call of Scripture is to pray for those who oppose us. People who do things to us just to make our lives difficult. And our first instinct would be to oppose them in return. That seems fair. And yet the gospel says, love your neighbor. Who is it who might be the last person you would consider inviting to your Christmas dinner table? Or if that someone invited you, your first inclination would be to say, I think we'll decline. We'll have something else to do that day. You see, that gets at the heart of the original Christmas dinner. Now we're touching the painful nerve of gospel love, actually loving our enemies. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, because God loved the world and sent his Son into the world so that his enemies might be invited to the family table. That's the Christmas story. That's the first love of Christmas. How was that love received? Verse 19 tells us. And this is the judgment. Here's what happened. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. It's actually really sad if you think about it, that people who are loved by God, I mean truly loved by God, reject the love of God because they would prefer to hold on to their anger. They prefer their darkness. We actually love to hate our enemies. There is a visceral experience, a visceral satisfaction that comes from holding on to a grudge. You probably know what that feels like. But if you're not careful, it will take root. And it will be very difficult to remove down the road. But this is precisely the challenge of the gospel. That people love grudges that fuel hate, and they don't want to let go. How in the world do we overcome something like that? And I was thinking this week that there actually is no expression of human love that is stronger than our human love to hold a grudge. It's addicting, and the longer you hold it, the stronger its hold has over you. And I believe that the power of holding a grudge is too great for humans to overcome. And so God sent his Son into the world, not to contribute or enable this pandemic of grudges and making enemies, not even to condemn the people who are trapped in this kind of addictive behavior, but that God sent his Son to love enemies and to break the power of hate and to show us a new way. And so God loved enemies, and then he taught us to love our enemies, to pray for those who persecute you, to break the cycle of grudges, because of the love of Christmas, Because Christ's love is expressed, we could sit at the table with those who were once enemies and are now family. Again, that's the gospel story. That's the power of what happened when Christ was born. And that's how amazing the love of God is, that we have actually become family with God. We who were enemies are now family. And you can tell when someone is part of the family because they carry the family trait. They love mercy just as God loves mercy. That's the first love that initiated the gospel story at the birth of Christ. That's the important love. But there's a second expression of love that I want you to see this morning, and it takes us back to this picture of a family gathering for Christmas, gathering over the Christmas season. Listen to this passage of Scripture, but I want you to listen to it from the perspective of family coming home for Christmas. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. This is like the classic Bing Crosby, I'll be home for Christmas. It's the longing. I can't wait to be together. And you imagine Jesus saying, I can't wait for you to be home. I'm looking forward to it. Jesus and the Father literally saying, I'll have your room ready for you. I'm anticipating your arrival. And then Jesus says, I will come again and take you home. I'll meet you at the airport. I'll pick you up. I'll bring you home. This is the second coming of Christ. This is the Advent candle that we light. The first time Jesus came for his enemies. The second time he's coming for his children, for his family, to take us home. And until that day when Christ comes again, we have a third expression of the love of God and of being at home with Jesus. And this is also from John chapter 14. Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him. And notice this, and we will come to him and make our home with him. So until the day that Jesus comes to take us to his home, Jesus and the Father are coming to stay with us at our home. Again, this is the nature of the gospel. God doing whatever it takes to turn enemies into family. Planning to have the whole family together at our Father's house. And then until that day, living in our own family homes together with Jesus and our Father. Loving God. Loving our neighbors, loving one another, just as he taught us to love. This is what Jesus taught us. And in the words of the carol, truly, he taught us to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace. Pray with me. Father, we thank you so much for the love that you have expressed to us. That while we were enemies, while we were far from you, you chose to love us. You chose to lay aside our offense. You took the initiative. You forgave us. And you invited us to be a part of your family. Father, I ask that each of us would just have, by your Holy Spirit, that compelling invitation to accept what you have offered to us. That we might recognize how beautiful a thing it is for us to no longer be enemies of yours, turning away from you, but actually in accepting your invitation to be a part of your family. And God, we pray that you would give us the courage to extend that same grace to the people around us, to lay aside grudges, opinions, anything that might stop us from sitting at the table together. May we live your gospel just as you lived it, Jesus, by coming and then inviting us to be at your table. We look forward to the day, Jesus, when you return and we all get to come home together. We long for that day. We believe that it will happen. And until that day, we ask for the beauty of the fellowship of having you in our homes, that the character of your family tree might be manifest in our homes, that we might be lovers of one another, lovers of God, lovers of our enemies, that the law of love would be fulfilled in our lives. We pray for this and ask for the miraculous love of Jesus to be ours. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.